Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hi, everybody. This is Geraldo Rivera reporting Roadkill, my political podcast, The View from the Middle of the Road. And from the middle of the road, I told you so. Evidence has now emerged. Conclusive evidence. Remember that riot of June 2020 where President Trump supposedly had the protesters evicted from Lafayette Square Park so he could have a photo op in front of St. John's Episcopalian Church, which was damaged by arsonists? Remember that? Trump and his infamous photo op? Turns out never happened. Turns out the park police were acting on a preconceived plan to suppress disorder and save a historic building. Trump got screwed. Here's Roadkill.
Roadkill with Geraldo Rivera.
June 1st, 2020. Remember the big violent protest outside the White House, St. John's Historic Episcopalian Church, Lafayette Square? The legend is that Trump had it cleared so he could have his clumsy photo op. Remember that? Here's what I want to do. I'm back in Cleveland. Delighted to be here. Delighted to be home. Hello, Rob. Did you miss me?
Oh, of course. And you actually brought some good weather with you, too. I'm not hating it right now.
So I want to say some things about Donald Trump that I haven't done a lot of, but there's been a development in the last couple of days that I think puts in perspective a lot about the former president and how he's been treated by, you know, history. History is written by the victors, usually. So you could expect him to be spun on the downside of any controversy. But here's what I wrote. I'll give you my exclusive preview of the commentary for Fox News right here to listeners of WTAM 1100, Geraldo in Cleveland. Trump fashioned a new political movement that rallied a huge swath of America. But the former president has plenty to be sorry about. Obviously, principal among his failings is his reckless refusal to accept the results of the November 2020 election and his subsequent incitement of the January 6th Capitol Hill riots, for which he was appropriately impeached. And there were other lesser legitimate failures, like not finding humility following his own diagnosis of COVID-19. Rather than swagger back to the Oval Office following that scary bout with the killer disease, Trump could have used the episode as a teaching moment. Look, even the president of the United States is not invulnerable to the plague. Be careful. Wear a mask. He usually did not. But he did do several things of which he is innocent, or at least unfairly criticized. Start with the long-held legend recently revealed to be false that in June of 2020, Trump ordered stormtroopers to violently clear Lafayette Park opposite the White House of BLM protesters, all supposedly in the name of a clumsy photo op with an upside-down Bible in front of historic St. John's Church, which had just been torched by the rioters. The Inspector General of the Department of the Interior has just released a report that found that the U.S. Park Police that day cleared Lafayette Park to allow the contractor to safely install the anti-scale fencing in response to destruction of church property and injury to officers. In other words, not only was the clearing of the park absolutely appropriate, it was a plan that had nothing to do with Trump. And the more bitter irony is that Trump and his team received more criticism for the incident than the rioters that burned the historic church. Again, I don't have to beat a dead horse. Trump disappointed me when he refused to accept the results of the November 2020 election. But that sin cannot cover up the fact that, like the legend of Lafayette Park, Trump was the constant target of cascading fake news scandals. He did not collude with the Russians to fix the 2016 election. He did not collude with Ukraine to fix the 2016 election, for which he was unjustly impeached. He did not ignore a non-existent Russian murder-for-hire plot to kill our GIs in Afghanistan. He did correctly allege that the Wuhan lab in China seems the likely source of the catastrophic viral leak that killed millions, including almost 600,000 in our own country. We shall never forget President Trump's misguided misdeeds. But we also have to remember that the flamboyant 45th president was the constant target of a mainstream media which appeared to care more for hurting Trump than in telling the truth. So there, I've said it. Trump, for all his failings, did not order the U.S. Park Police to violently clear Lafayette Park in front of St. John's Episcopalian Church so he could get a photo op. It was a pre-plan, long in place, in which the Park Police worked with the Metropolitan Police of Washington, D.C. to restore order and to secure a historic building, St. John's Episcopalian Church, that had been burned by the rioters. It had nothing to do with Trump. So when he marched out with Attorney General Barr and others of his staff, of his cabinet, to go to St. John's Park, the authorities there were already in the process of getting the rioters out of the Lafayette Square so they could secure the church. The church was burning. So my point is this. There's plenty that Trump has to be sorry for. But what I fear is, in the wake of his defeat, and with Biden now in office, Trump will either run for office again or be a power broker, a king maker, if he wants to be. But we have to sort fact from fiction. This was a glaring example of how the hatred of Donald Trump was so virulent, it was so present, that an organization as prestigious as the Washington Post refused to see for a long time what really happened in the park. Did they, before they condemned Trump for staging the photo op, ask the park police whether or not their response to the riot was something that Trump had ordered, or rather was a pre-planned scheme to mitigate damage to the historic building? No, they didn't. Because you don't challenge a story that you approve of. You don't challenge a story that you agree with. The story in this case was that Trump was the megalomaniac who unleashed the Gestapo so he could have an arrogant, egotistical, narcissistic photo op in front of St. John's Church. In fact, it turns out that all the authorities, not working under Trump's control at all, but by a pre-plan of what to do in these contingencies, the park police did the best they could to mitigate the damage to the church. The church that had been torched, the historic church torched by anti-Trump demonstrators. They tried to burn it down. They set it on fire. And somehow the arson of the historic church becomes kind of the sidebar, you know, it's like the atmosphere. Yes, they did, you know, burn the church or try to. But the point was, they said, here is Trump using the force of the United States government for his own cheap political purpose taking the photo op. It is infuriating when you examine it. I hope I've explained it in a lucid manner. But when you examine what happened around that time when the presidential election was just getting up to steam in June of 2020, when you examine the press that Donald Trump got, every story they could spin against him, they spun against him. So although he let us down with the refusal to accept the November 2020 election, he let us down grievously, profoundly. And even though he committed an audacious, atrocious act of self-gratification in unleashing the mob that trashed the United States Capitol, there are many things that he is alleged to have done that he never did. I mentioned the scheme exposed by the New York Times, supposedly, in which Russia was playing a bounty. Russia was paying a bounty for the Taliban to kill our GIs. So the story was the KGB was paying the Taliban to kill Americans. That was the story. And Trump was doing nothing about it. That was the implication. The fact of the matter is that no such scheme, as far as anyone can determine, ever existed. There was never a KGB scheme to pay off the Taliban to kill American GIs. Where's the apology? Have you seen the New York Times struggling to corroborate their fake story about the assassination plot, the assassination for hire plot? Oh, well, we can't conclusively rule it out, they say now. You can't conclusively rule it out. How about saying that you can't in any way, shape, or form rule it in? There never was a plot to kill GIs that the KGB was paying the Taliban. It didn't happen. And yet it was headlines to diminish Trump. He screwed up post-election. He behaved miserably post-election. But he was treated with grotesque unfairness in the election campaign. And the press suspended all of its professional disbelief to believe any allegation that put Trump in a negative light. I think it is incumbent on all of us, not just the people with microphones, on all of us, as Trump ponders his political future, either as a candidate in 2024 or more likely as a power broker in the next election cycle. It is incumbent on all of us to sort fact from fiction. What did he do that was wrong? What did he do that was right? What was said about him that were lies? And at least judge him on a historical record that is accurate. You know, the incident, June 1st, Lafayette Square, and the whole photo op legend, maybe a little thing, but it's one of many, many incidents in which prestigious media outlets spun bad reporting into an anti-Trump diatribe. I think Trump has to do a lot of things to get back in good graces, certainly with people like me, to the extent he even cares about that. He's got to apologize for what he did on January 5th, January 6th, and that whole period. He owes the American people. He beat the impeachment case, true. But he owes the American people, if not an explanation, at least an apology that people misconstrued his words and attacked the Capitol, whatever it is, however he wants to say it. I know how difficult, I've known him for decades, as you know. I know how difficult it is for him to say that he is sorry ever about anything. But he must do it this time if he is to expect the American people to listen to him and his advice about what happens next in American politics. He must say he's sorry. But remember this Washington Post and the other media and these fake stories. That whole clearing of the Lafayette Square so he could have a photo op is a fake news story. It is false. It never happened. And it took until now for an independent arbiter to determine based on the facts that it never happened. So while we want Trump to apologize, I think that a lot of people in the mainstream media owe him an apology too.
I'm embarrassed that I was 2 miles from that park and I did not get there to stand with those protesters. Well, I'll tell you what, Donald Trump, every member of this co-equal body should condemn what this president did, trampling upon the most sacred right of this nation to assemble.
Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey, sanctimonious, as always, filled with his own self-importance, relaying to a crowd and to the media writ large a false narrative that President Trump engineered a crackdown on the protesters outside the White House so he could get a photo op. False, fake, untrue, wrong. Otto, thank you for your patience. 216-578-1100. Otto in Cleveland, thank you for holding on. What's on your mind, bud?
Good morning, Geraldo.
Good morning.
How are you? Once again, it's been proven that Donald Trump did not do anything wrong regarding a number of issues, first with the dirty dossier, and keep going on and on and on. They portrayed him the villain. And I think you're going to find out when the final report comes in that the January 6th attack on the Capitol, that the intelligence agencies knew a lot about what was going on prior to this event. It's going to come out, and I think Donald Trump's going to be vindicated. And here's the question you got to ask yourself right now, this morning. Are you better off with Donald Trump in office if he were here right now, or with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris after her shameful display on the world stage?
It's pretty awkward. There's no doubt about it. I said on the five, and thank you, Otto, for your thoughtful call. I'll get to the others just in a moment. I just want to say this about Kamala Harris. I hold her in high regard because mostly of her resume. I mean, she was a crime-busting DA in San Francisco. She was the elected Attorney General of the state of California. She was the elected United States Senator 2 times from the state of California, the largest state by population. She is the first woman of color, the first woman in the White House. She is historic in every regard. Otto, unfortunately, is correct. She was a clumsy, insecure, overly defensive, absolutely ineffectual advocate for U.S. immigration policy abroad. She, as Otto says, she blew it in Guatemala, equally in Mexico. Made the whole story about her refusing to go to the border in a way that was very embarrassing. But I want to talk about the administration before this one, before Kamala and Joe Biden, and you can judge for yourself the job they are doing. We can talk about it and have talked about it, obviously, morning after morning. I want to look back at the 45th president rather than the 46th, looking back at the 45th president, who did plenty, as I said before, that I am extremely frustrated with, not the least of which is his adamant refusal to accept the results of the election, even after the electors had cast their ballots. But the January 6th riot thing, that it's not so easily forgivable. Otto says there will be a report that our intelligence agencies knew everything. They knew who was going to go where, and they were kind of complicit in the sense that they did not do enough to stop it. I guess that will be the Trump defense in historic terms.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I believe, stubbornly, maybe, that he could have done much, much more. And remember, I supported Trump through the election until the next week when we spoke. Trump and I spoke. Remember, he called me here in Shaker. And we talked about the election. And he told me, this is the week after the election, that he was a realist and that if the election had gone against him, he would admit it and move on in life. He never did. He never got there. That wasn't true. Instead of admitting that the election result had gone against him, he dug in his heels and insisted with more and more militancy that he had been robbed. And he made that. He went down to Georgia for that special election, remember, on January 5th, and whined about himself, made it all about Trump in a very narcissistic, malignant way. He cost the Republicans the United States Senate by losing those two seats in Georgia. And then the very next day, to encourage that mob, and yes, there may be some proof that the organizers had a longstanding plot and the secret services of the United States knew what was going on and could have prevented it had they cared to. I mean, I don't know about any of that. It will become clear in the future. What I do know is that Trump let me down. Now, you could say it wasn't enough for me to abandon him, but it is enough for me. As much as I care for him and as nice as he was to me as president, what he did left a sour taste that he's got to fix. And if you forgive him for it and you're willing to support him and his vision of the Republican Party, maybe even his candidacy for re-election to the White House, fine. Fine, I'm okay with that. You do that. But I'm not going to do that. I'll never vote for him again unless and until he apologizes for what happened. That's just me. It's ironic, but Erica and I were like ships passing in the night. I came back from New York. My flight was delayed. There was bad weather. I don't know where, but nothing more gross than spending time in LaGuardia Airport waiting for your delayed flight. Anyway, I got home after midnight last night. Erica just left for New York. She had a longstanding girls trip to New York, so she's going to be in the Big Apple when I hold down the reins here at home. It is so nice to be home and terrific to have such beautiful, beautiful weather. All right, so you know what we're talking about. You have Donald Trump, this flawed, tragic figure in many ways, larger than life, defying all the odds, all the professional expectations, winning election, and then facing wave after wave of relentless criticism and issues and fake allegations, the Russia collusion story, principal among them. For the first 2 years of the Trump presidency, he was totally preoccupied by that. Russia, Russia, Russia. And then Ukraine, Ukraine, Ukraine. And the impeachment, and then another impeachment. He's had a rough time, brought on a lot of his own suffering, but has been often unjustly accused by his critics in the mainstream media. And one example of that, and the one I'm speaking about this morning, is on June 1st, 2020, when the Park Police and other law enforcement cleared the area in Lafayette Square between the White House and the St. John's Episcopalian Church across the street. It is clear now from the historic record and from interviews with all of the people involved that that was a plan that was long-standing and had nothing to do with the president going across the street to stand in front of the church with the Bible. Nothing to do with it. So where's the apology? Remember how he was reamed for that. In Pepper Pike, Marianne, what's your thinking? I appreciate your calling. What's up?
Well, I totally agree with the first caller who was on with you.
I know.
That from the beginning, Trump has been just buried by the media. And frankly, I think as the more investigations go on, that the January 6th may come to light, that Pelosi and Schumer were warned that there might be groups there and did nothing to prepare the Secret Service, the police, whatever. And the other thing is that people say to me, how could you have voted for Trump? I didn't vote for Trump the man. I voted for Trump the president. He did everything he said he was going to do, which Biden has undone. It is shameful. I am very fearful of Biden meeting with Putin, with China, and look how the fool that she made of herself, Kamala Harris, in Guatemala. And I don't think Trump owes anybody an apology.
Okay, Marianne, well said. Well said, Marianne. So you had a question also about Erica watching The Five yesterday? Oh, I was wondering her comment on The Five. The Five is fun. The Five is fun, but I wouldn't take that job with Juan Williams gone. I'd kind of be the natural successor, but I don't want to live in New York anymore. I'm a Clevelander now. Thinking that they're taking me out with my boots on. That's when I go back to New York.
Well, with you, it seems like, honestly, like grandparents to parents, where, you know, hey, you know, it's fun to babysit for a couple of days, you know, we'll have a little fun, but once that kid starts crying, you can just pass him right on to the parent, and any problem that happens, just move on with your day.
You're thinking about Jesse Waters and mm-hmm. Greg Gutfeld and company?
Yeah, basically at that point.
In Lorraine, speaking about, reparations, Brother Don, what's up, Brother Don?
Yes, Brother Ronald. I ask that you never speak on reparations again. For remember, have some respect. It was not your creation that was put in slavery for 400 years and abused in self-hatred of themselves, making them people learn to call themselves the N-word. And self-hatred, these people do not have culture or any life to call ideology to grow up with. They shoot each other every day. You don't know, you don't have the authority and know the harm that the African American had to experience in this country.
But Brother Don, what would you like me to do? You guide me. You guide me. You sound like a very sincere man. Guide me.
I do not ask you to tend to your own race, but this is our fight. You don't know the cruelty that these people have done to us. They've burnt down our cities, everything we tried to burn. How can you dare even to talk about that? You don't have no fight in this. Stay in your own lane. You know, we are the people who have been self-hatredly abused. Go to the back of the bus. Go to the restroom, black restaurant. Go to the back. You do not have the dignity to talk to us about what we deserve. And I ask you to have some. And you, when you see your brother, the pastor, ask him. Say when we start, he ought to be ashamed to be passing this old blaspheming ideology. The white put us in slavery and then give us a fairy tale.
Wait, doctrine. Brother Don, have you ever called into Pastor Scott's show on Wednesdays?
I called him yesterday, and I just asked you. I'm not gonna get.
What did he say? I missed it. I was in New York. What did he say?
He don't have authority to talk about.
Okay, brother Don, thank you. I you're getting very excited. I want to appreciate you for your sincerity, and I hear your message loud and clear. I may not disagree with it. Obviously, I may not agree with it. Obviously, I don't agree with some aspects of it. But I on this show, everybody is welcome, and if you have a problem with my point of view on a particular issue, have at it. But I've got to move on now to Mike in Cleveland. Mike, what's on your mind?
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
When I was growing up, I grew up here my whole life. I looked at my mother. I was 8 years old, and I was looking at the Plain Dealer. And I remember commenting to my mother, it's written in the Plain Dealer, they wouldn't lie to us. And my mother had this kind of dumbfounded look on her face. But what I want to say is, back in the day, CNN, whenever anything happened in the world, people raced to turn on CNN. It doesn't matter if it was Three Mile Island, the Challenger blowing up, Desert Storm. Everybody saw CNN, raced to watch them, and trusted them. And now, in this country, everyone is entitled to their opinion. And in my opinion is, everything is a lie, and I work backwards. I just do not trust the mass media. And let me put it to you this way. The way Donald Trump lashes out or was treated, you could take Mother Teresa or you could take Jesus Christ and make them the president of the United States, And if they got 24 hours a day, 7 days a week incoming, even if only 50% of it was a lie, you would change that person.
I got to move on. I appreciate your sentiment. And believe me, that's what attracted me to Attorney General Barr, William Barr, when he was appointed. The fact that he said, look at Trump. For 2 years, he's had to withstand attacks that were scurrilous and lies. And he still prevailed or persevered. I really appreciated the fact that he gave Trump credit for surviving these vicious attacks. And another one we're talking about today, the whole June 1st riot in front of the Capitol. He never cleared the crowd so he could have a photo op. That was a lie. Where's the apology? I like Donald Trump. I have said over the past that I love him because of his loyalty. The way I say I love my dear friends for, here I am in a middle-sized radio market. He always found time for me. Always found time. Always honored the friendship. There's so many things about him that I appreciate. His ferocious independence is, I love the, even like Biden is on this trip now in Europe to the G7. He's going to have the summit in Switzerland later in the week with Vladimir Putin, the Russian leader. I enjoyed watching Trump with Putin. To me, when I saw Trump with Putin or Trump with President Xi of China, it seemed like it was having our own crazy tough guy to be with their crazy tough guys. You know, Joe Biden is a nice guy, a sweetheart. I feel that he's very sincere. I like his wife, Dr. Jill, also. But he doesn't have the verve of Trump. He doesn't have the swagger of Trump. Biden goes to Europe right now. I mean, I didn't intend to talk about this current trip, but Biden goes to Europe and he visits our troops and he's trying to bolster our relationships with our NATO partners, with France and Germany and England and or UK and so forth. That's fine. But I remember when Trump went and he pointed out that these European countries were not paying for their own defense. They had promised, the European countries, all of them, the NATO countries, that they would spend up to 2% of their gross national product on their own militaries. So Trump pointed out when he got there, hey, no one is spending enough money on their militaries. That's why the United States has to protect everybody, because you're not protecting yourselves. And he busted their chops. He weakened the NATO alliance, maybe. I don't know. But he certainly called out countries that needed calling out. So, yes, he's clumsy and, he doesn't know how to behave with the Queen and, all those kinds of things. But there was something refreshingly sincere about Trump in his flamboyance. Again, none of this takes away from my feelings about his responsibility for what happened and threatened the republic, the government, the Constitution. But fair is fair. And fair is fair.
And Geraldo, you mentioned fair is fair, and I noticed a couple callers the last time around, and you referred to the president's bravado and his swagger. You know, if you listen to the last few callers, you would have thought that the president did nothing to warrant any sort of animosity from the press or from his enemies. But you got to remember, this was he got attacked, but he also walked in the door swinging. He looked at all of the press and called them un-American, called them, a scourge in the country. You know, we're going to destroy the.
You are a scourge.
Well, probably at some points in time for sure. But, this is also the same man who, would go at his enemies who disagreed with him at a fervor and at a pettiness, quite frankly, that really no other president had. Anthony Gonzalez got censured by the Ohio State Republican Party for voting for impeachment. That was the first time anybody had ever got censured for voting a certain way on a bill. And if he's going to come out and swing at his enemies because they don't treat him right, I mean, what's the press going to do? I mean, they're doing the exact same thing.
I think the Anthony Gonzalez example is a good one. Let's see what the folks have to say in Aurora. Liz is on the line. Liz, thanks for calling. What's up?
Thanks for taking my call, Geraldo. Are you still there?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. Yes, getting back to Lafayette Square, I have a little bit different take. I think that Trump went over there and held up the Bible, saying that the Bible is symbolism of what our nation is. There's an uprising, and the church is gathering together across denominations and saying, hey, something's wrong with this country when we were supposed to have a limited government, and now the government's the answer to everything. And I think, in a sense, Trump humbled himself and lifted the Bible higher than himself. But they wanted, oh, it's just a photo op. I think it was much bigger. I think the very first call I made to you 5-6 years ago, that the election of 2016 is bigger than politics. God is going to have a hand in it. And I think, I know that you think that Trump should accept the election. Could you help me understand why we didn't question five states stop counting on November 3rd?
I'm out of time. I want to say this generally, though, about the election of 2020. I am sure it was imperfect. I am sure that people voted who were not authorized to vote. Just as I am sure that some authorized voters screwed up their ballots or didn't show up that day. There were plenty of issues with this and every election, particularly when you have, in this case, 160 million people casting ballots in various ways, shapes, or forms. I just think that when you attack a conclusion, where was the proof of what Liz alleged? Oh, this state and that state and five states and this attorney general and that. I have not seen anything convincing, to no smoking gun about the election. And in any case, the electors have certified the vote. That's our system. So whether you agree with them or disagree, they certified the vote. Joe Biden won the election according to our constitutional guidance. And for the president of the United States, Donald Trump, to continue to question the legitimacy of what happened, is very dangerous to the country. Unnecessary, narcissistic, and I do not and did not appreciate it. Is it a game changer? Is he going to be canceled forever? No, we've laid out how he could find his way back. And God bless him if that's the route he chooses. But my point in today's program, and I hope I made the point and I'm talking too long and I got to move on, is that Trump got screwed. A lot of people attacked him with lies. And the Lafayette Square Park riot is a classic example of the lies in the fake media Trump complained about. Just because it was Trump complaining doesn't mean it wasn't true. Thanks for listening. Eric is en route to New York. That's why you missed her this morning. I will be right here on Friday morning. Have a great day. One final note on this, and I'm sure it's not the final note. I'm sure we'll continue talking about it. We should never forget the misguided misdeeds of Donald Trump. But we also have to remember that the flamboyant 45th president has been the unfair, constant target of the mainstream media, a media that appears to have cared more about hurting Trump than in telling the truth. I'm Geraldo Rivera reporting Roadkill.
Roadkill with Geraldo Rivera.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.